It's Helping Hand, weekly feature, HPR One stations, each week, Friday afternoons. Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, event in the community, offers assistance to the disabled and other folks who are in need and among the most vulnerable. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence. Thanks for listening. This week, we are excited to have a great returning guest organization. We're learning about After School All-Stars. Perhaps you heard when they were on Helping Hand before. In a nutshell, they provide after-school programs, helps keep kids safe, keeps them, help them succeed in school and life. And we learned about them first. Special Olympics Hawaii were our guests. And in the conversation with Special Olympics, we learned how After School All-Stars offer really significant companionship and educational support to Special Olympics. It really impressed me. And that's what inspired them being here on Helping Hand. It's an organization that you can help in their mission. We're going to find out more about how we can do that. We're welcoming After School All-Stars President and CEO Dawn Dunbar and Program Director David Asato, who is a returning guest. Dawn, David, thank you both for being here.
Thank you, Dave.
It's great to have you. And I guess we'll start with Dawn, who is a new guest to us. And as President and CEO, obviously, you could probably answer this pretty good. After School All-Stars, tell us a little bit about it for folks who the name is completely new to. Paint a picture of what you guys are up to.
First of all, Dave, thank you so much for having us back. This is really great exposure for us to bring awareness about our programs. And for those of you who don't know a little about After School All-Stars, in a nutshell, we target the middle school youth in Hawaii's public middle and intermediate schools. That's the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders who probably one of the most vulnerable age groups to keep busy, safe, and doing productive things after school. So we work in partnership with the Department of Education to run after school programs Monday through Friday, 3 hours every day after school, and we work in conjunction with them to make sure that after school is aligned with during school hours.
And the hours that it happens?
Typically 2:30 to 5:30, 3 hours after school every day, 1 hour of mandatory academics or tutoring, and then they go on to do 2 hours of either enrichment or health and fitness activities.
That is fantastic. And David, it broke this down before for me, but it's I understand the whole bit so much more now after spending time exploring other things that relate to kids. And on that point, before we move forward, you're so right. I mean, 6, 7, and 8, there are a lot of different, whether it's big brothers, big sisters, who we had on recently. It was talking about the ways that they intervene in vulnerable people's lives. That age, that when you flash back, you can see how you could be misdirected really easily between the grades of 6, 7, and 8. I mean, you are vulnerable. You're really susceptible, I guess, to taking a bad path if you don't have the right things around you, the right tools, the right support system. So I can really see where that age group is critical, and also for changing people's perceptions towards the disabled and making them a little bit more approachable. Perhaps it's a good age to get them before slurs and just stupid stuff starts to come out of people's heads. The program is available, David, in what places specifically? Because I know it's not in every single school, right?
Sure. We have 7 schools on Oahu. So we have Waianae and Nanakuli. We have Dole Middle School, Kalakaua Middle School in Kalihi. And then we have Central Middle School, Jarrett Middle School, and Washington Middle School in the Honolulu area. And we also have 3 schools on the Big Island. So we have Pahoa, High and Intermediate, Keaau Middle School, and Kau Intermediate.
And if there are educators, parents, others in various communities across the state who are thinking, how come it's not in more schools or more locations? And we're going to hear a lot more about the program, but just how does it arrive into a school or program, either of you?
Well, that's our whole objective, is to try to help the middle and intermediate schools to have a program. We started off small. We've expanded now to 10, and word's getting out. And so pretty much when families call us, we always mention to them to go talk to their principal and inquire about what kind of after-school programming they have. And it all comes down to funding. And so really, we want to work with the DOE so that we can have substantial funding when we start up a program. It's difficult to have a year of funding and then, you know, try to continue and sustain a program. So we're trying to work in partnership to have multi-year funding to get up and running, get, you know, some traction. And then usually after 3 years is when the principals and the families really recognize the benefit of our programming and what we're doing and the impact. We've shown some really great results in terms of just attendance. You know, there's a big problem with chronic absenteeism in our schools. So for us to be able to get the kids to school, they have to go to school in order to come to after school. That's a big accomplishment. And then also some academic gains in terms of testing and grades, too.
You mentioned chronic problems with attendance. Is that higher in Hawaii, or is that in general?
I'm not sure, but we have a substantially high chronic absenteeism rate in our Title I schools, where a majority of the kids are in the free and reduced lunch program. And so our whole objective with After School Ulcers is to target some of those disadvantaged communities to see how we can help the schools and the students have something so that they can come every day.
And on the funding, am I getting it straight, David? The funding is basically entirely comes from the DOE, or there's an element of contribution too from folks who are listening?
Actually, it does come from multiple sources. Dawn's actually the one who oversees all of the funding, so I think she's
It's unfortunate because it's such a mishmash. Every year it's sort of pulling from DOE funds, state funds, city funds, private foundation funds, and it's sort of just kind of making it all work. There is federal dollars for after-school programming, but it's not guaranteed. And so if we don't get that pot, which is, you know, the ideal pot because it's specific to after-school, if we don't get that, then it's really kind of just chasing different things. And we have an annual event every year to raise funds as well. But right now it's a little challenging, and so one of the things we're working on right now is looking at some legislation to look to support after school for middle school.
And also, I'm just throwing it out there, so if somebody in the community also just felt strongly about it, they can also, either a company or individuals can also make contributions to assist in this.
Oh, absolutely. We welcome any contributions, donations.
And it could be a corporate thing. So if somebody has a child or several people in a company have kids going to one school, maybe they could look at each other and think, well, maybe we could sponsor After School All-Stars in blank school here, and that would be a way that as a company we could make a contribution. That is possible?
Yes. Actually, I should point out that KPMG recently came in to sponsor a program we're doing at Central Middle School. And so that's been a very nice partnership. They're downtown. And so we have a mentorship fellowship program where our students are able to go to the offices of KPMG, and they're doing some neat activities related to technology.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah. So there's that kind of exposing folks to the workplace angle, which is a critical way of trying to shape a positive demeanor and attitude and a sense of hope and perhaps making some plans for the future when you're young. The program itself, David, we have a great, Dawn laid out the hours really well, so you can picture the child shows up right when the school day ends, I'm assuming. And then from there, she described the 3 hours, but if you can describe for us, and this also, I guess, shows a little bit of how people can be involved in it too. You need tutors, so the first hour is tutoring, then there's a couple hours of enrichment. Kind of describe for us what takes place.
Sure, absolutely. And so that first hour, like Dawn mentioned, is our homework or academic hour. And really what we're trying to do is help students to succeed in the classroom. So we spend a lot of time helping them with their homework, but on top of that, preparing them for exams that are taking place. So there's always communication happening between our program and the school, the teachers of the school, the counselors at the school. And from there, you know, the students have a chance to explore a variety of different classes. So we have our enrichment classes. Those are the indoor classes that take place normally around the arts, so performing arts, visual arts, culinary arts, literary arts. We've seen a whole variety of different classes. And really, I think over there, what we're trying to do is expose these students to different opportunities. So, you know, at the end of the day, if a student signs up for one of our classes and they say, well, you know what, that wasn't for me, then, you know, we still feel that we accomplished our mission because at least somebody gave that student a chance to say that or to experience it. And for those students who do find an interest in it, we do want to make sure that we take them to the next level. We provide them with the tools to be able to succeed. I mean, we've had many of our students go on to different clubs like dance teams, sports sports teams in high school based off of the classes that they've taken with us in middle school. And so on top of that, we also do have a lot of sports classes because it's really popular with middle school students. And really, I think the thing with these sports classes is while we're also providing them with skills that they'll need to play high school sports, we're also out there reinforcing things like teamwork, leadership, sportsmanship. So really, I think what we're trying to do is develop the whole child and really just give them that opportunity to experience something new.
Yeah, you're creating a positive person through a lot of different healthy experiences and healthy ways to spend time when they're young. And this is real quick. I'm sure Dawn might have said it. Forgive me if it went over my head. The program takes place in their school after school. So it's in the school facility in these 3 hours afterwards.
Correct. And they have to be a student at that school to attend the program. And, you know, with the sports, a lot of our families have limited resources. So they don't have access to club teams or, you know, any kind of extracurriculars. And so for us to be able to introduce them to soccer and the basic fundamentals and then have them scrimmage, you know, that's really key. And what's nice is the high school athletic directors are thanking us and saying, thank you so much for grooming them, because when they get to high school now, they have the confidence, they want to try for the team, and that's all also to keep them engaged in going to school, too. So that's been really neat.
And the good sportsmanship that he
mentioned. Exactly,
yeah. Which is more than sport.
Yeah.
It's just how you treat people in general with respect, right? I mean, I'm just extrapolating from what that means, but you get a kid in that program with you and they really learn how to be respectful and kind and considerate to other people. I can see when you talk about the high school coaches admiring the program, if that's the kind of person it provides as their student, I could see why they would really dig that, because those are key things. Like I said, I could see how you start them here, they can really have a lot of potential to be good. And it's like giving a good role model, I guess, is what I was thinking. The kids, once it's in a school, so we've sort of painted a picture, so educators, parents, anyone in the community feels this should be in our area school, they could reach out to you guys and you'd help them figure out that process, and we'll give contact info coming up. But then the kids, so let's say it's arrived in a school, a new school, it's just arrived in a new school in the community. How does the kid then, hey, I'm going to get involved with this, or I think you should be, is there a person who introduces it? Can you kind of give the bridge to the kid gets involved part?
Sure, absolutely. So each of our schools has a full-time site coordinator. And they help to oversee the after-school program. So they work very closely with the school. In fact, all of our site coordinators have an office at the school. And they're responsible for the marketing and recruitment of the program. And I think the big advantage to being there all day is they get to know the kids. You know, so they're out there during lunch, they're out there during recess. Actually, the school calls upon a lot of our coordinators to also participate in school day activities.
So they're a separate employee. They're not. It's not a teacher who takes on this role of on-site coordinator. It's an after-school all-stars employee, basically, who is then going to be in the school full-time.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. And so they have a team of about 4 to 5 program leaders who also help to run the programs after school. But the coordinator is there full-time and a part of the school day and after-school programs, but is an employee of After School All-Stars. And, you know, I think aside from promoting the after-school program, we do have a lot of other projects that we're running at the same time. So, for example, in February, we're launching a We Are Ready program, which is for our eighth graders. And so right now we're targeting all of the eighth graders at the school, and this is basically to help them to successfully transition into high school. Mm-hmm. So it talks about the social and academic aspects of high school. And after completing this 10-week program, the students will have a chance to come with us to the University of Hawaii at Manoa over the summer for 3 days and 2 nights, where they'll experience college life, meet with college professors, visit different departments.
And these are eighth graders about to go into high school.
Correct.
So you're showing them the next level of what's coming after the next 4 years sort of deal. I get it. And again, still, so the kids, so now it's in school, you have a coordinator, they're full time there. I'm still missing, how do they find the right kids, or how does that introduction get made? I mean, if they're in the building working all day, how do they get exposed to the kids to go, well, you know what? This kid is like coming from a tough background, or this one could use our help. How does that part happen?
Sure. And so being around the students all day, really what they're doing is taking a look at the interest of the students, because we really want to make sure that our after-school program matches the needs and the interest of the students. And so from there, after you know, learning about the interest of the students, what they'll do is they'll create classes based off of this. And we switch classes every quarter, so every 8 weeks or so the classes will change. But really what we want to do is we want to provide students with somebody who can come in and mentor them and equip them to be successful in terms of their interests. We also work closely with the teachers. So we get out there into the classrooms. We do speak with teachers all the time to see if there are students who could benefit from being part of this after-school program. We also do work with counselors. So anytime we change our classes around, we're out there sharing the classes with the counselors and saying, you know, if there are any students that you have that may be interested in these classes, please refer them over to us. But I think it's just, even though we do have that office there, our coordinators are rarely in that office. I think they're very visible on campus.
No, that's great. That I like the coordinated effort. So I get it. So teachers, guidance counselors, lots of different people. It's a you guys are looking carefully to figure out who could help, who could be helped.
That is correct.
By this program. Mm-hmm. And so in addition to helping kids with, so kid needs help with their academics. They need help with their schoolwork. You're giving them a chance to enrich in healthy activities like sports or things that cooking, I guess, is one of the things that
cooking
you would
is
say.
Very popular.
Things like that. So interfacing with, you know, the thing that really impressed me about this, not that the rest of it doesn't. It's all everything that you're doing sounds really cool. But Special Olympics deal with a really protected population of folks, and if I was in their shoes, I'd really want. I'd love to have heard what I heard that day. You guys from Special Olympics, they told me themselves how your program has these lines up kids and people to work with intellectually developmentally challenged and intellectually challenged individuals in school to integrate them and give them a chance to interact with everyday people and provide what just seems like critical companionship, and when you talk about confidence building, it's almost like you're doing that for people who whose situation is you know, it's almost hard to talk about it. It's so it's like a blessing that you guys are there. If you can explain what you do for them.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, when we started off 6 years ago, really our intention was to be an inclusive program. We did want students with and without disabilities partnering, being a part of this program. In fact, when you look at the curriculum that we have, the teachers that we have, it really is geared towards success for all students. But when Special Olympics came along, that helped to take it to a whole new level. They provided us with the resources, the materials, the support to be able to really reach out to students with disabilities and make them a part of our program. And just to see the interactions between the students with and without disabilities, the level of respect that they have for each other. In fact, in our program, you really cannot tell who the students with disabilities are. They're just as much a part of the program as every other student. And so that's really neat to see the inclusiveness.
Is it beyond intellectual disability? Is it kids with any disabilities who you guys try to include in this program, or is it geared specifically towards those with intellectual disabilities?
Oh, all disabilities. In fact, we do have physical disabilities as well. But really, I think the bottom line for us is just making sure that we look beyond that and just help every student to succeed.
And so what you're talking about, so what happens is you've got kids from the general education population who are interacting maybe for their first time or first time up that close, helping in a collaborative effort with students who are otherwise in a special ed version of school? Is that mm-hmm. how it works?
Yeah, that is correct. And so students who would not see each other in the hallway or in the classrooms are all of a sudden they're supporting each other, creating friendships. And so that is really what it's all about. And I think Special Olympics has really help to equip us to be able to do that.
Is that like a particularly, I just wonder about the ways that you, it's an outstanding job, what you're doing. You know, you've been here before. Obviously, you're totally devoted to trying to help folks out. Is that a part of the gig? Can you point to that as like giving particular satisfaction when you can see a kid who does not have any kind of disability and you're trying to help them, learn, help their life, and then there they are sort of also helping someone else out, right? Because that's really part of this, I guess, that I'm exploring with you. It's not just that you guys and your employee are helping these intellectually disabled students. You're fostering relationships that conceivably will change the way the general ed students perceive of disabled people forever.
And I think you mentioned the word earlier, which was confidence. And that's really what it's all about. And so students for the general education population, yes, they are able to work with students with disabilities. And I think, you know, anytime they are providing a service, it really does change their confidence and their character. And from there, we see changes in terms of the academics. But it all begins with that. And it's not only confidence for students without disabilities, it's confidence for students with disabilities. Because again, now they have friends. Now they're doing something productive. Now they're part of the team. And so it works for both sides. But it really is neat to see how this has changed. You know, again, partnering with Special Olympics or just being an inclusive program has increased confidence in many different students on many different levels.
Yeah, I would think even, Dawn, that some of those kids' parents would be impressed when they find out what their kid's up to at school, that they're helping out another kid who deserves a shot at being included because some situation that they had no control over that related to their health mm-hmm. has somehow earmarked them as special, but your program is returning them to the kind of camaraderie which all kids should have a chance to have.
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the most rewarding parts of this whole job, and you know, just being able to see at these tournaments where we have the general needs with the special needs children as a team supporting each other, cheering each other on. You would never really know. And you know, like you're saying, during the school day maybe they don't really hang out, but during the after school time and when we do these different activities or projects or you know tournaments, they're all out there cheering for each other, and you know they're one team, and that's really cool to see. And I think for the parents, you know, that's a very important part for us to engage them as well. So whenever we do these events, we always invite the families to come out, and they come out and, you know, they support. And it's a really neat thing to get everybody involved.
For all parents, too. I mean, yeah. You know, you think, wow, these people, look how much enrichment is happening mm-hmm. for my child. And then on the other side, it's like, you know, my kid is going to be a kinder, gentler person as a result of working in this. You know, when you talk about that, it must be, it's just a... It's great what you're doing. How can people help you? What can we do besides cash? You need mentors. You need support to get into new schools. I'm just throwing some things out there. You need real estate. What can we do to make this thing go a lot bigger?
We always need help. One of the things that we're always looking for is good people to work with us. And so, you know, we have a saying that the kids come for the programs, but they stay for the staff. And so our staff is really our end-all be-all. We're looking for quality personnel to come work with our kids and work with the schools. And, you know, if there's anyone that has a specific interest or hobby that they want to be able to share with our kids, then that's something that we can definitely talk about. Bring something to the table if you love sports or you love cooking and things like that. We do a lot of training. So, you know, even if you've never worked with this age group, we can do some trainings and, you know, make sure people feel comfortable in terms of classroom management. It is a unique program in that it's very structured. So we're actually running classes. And so there's a lot of education for us to let our schools know, let our parents know, let the kids know that there are rules and, you know, they have to come every day. And if they're attending the art class, and that's the art class they attend for the quarter, because we're building upon stuff, we're doing projects. And so they're going to want to be able to attend and come so that they can finish that project at the end.
You're teaching responsibility, it sounds like,
yes.
Which is a pretty big part of, you know, when you talk about just helping all kids, as you know, your mission. I like that it's for all kinds of kids and a lot of people, yeah, that's a big area of responsibility. What you're talking, you know, adding to what you just said, that's important stuff. I mean, it's almost like we're talking about, you know, grades 6, 7, and 8, you get those kids to look at someone in a wheelchair or who suffers from any disability and treat them 100% normal. That's a form of responsibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's like, I get what you're talking about. You're talking about other responsibility too, like get there on time, finish what you start. But it's just cool how you... What you're up to like that. David, other things that you can add to Dawn's list of things, maybe anything that that you would like to emphasize how the public can help?
Sure. One other thing is right now we're working on career exploration with the students. So we're helping them, helping them to take a look at different careers and different career options. And one thing that we are looking for at this point are guest speakers who want to come in and share with the students what they do. In fact, we have a huge emphasis right now on self-employment. So small business owners, micro enterprises, we're definitely looking for folks who can come in and share with the students what it is that they do on a day-to-day basis. Because I think really when we ask our middle school students what they want to be when they grow up, a lot of times they're not sure. And so we decided that, if we're going to continue to ask that questions, then we want to at least provide them with some options. And so that's what we're doing right now. So anybody who wants to come in and share what they do with these students, it would be greatly appreciated.
That stuff's crucial, too. When I was in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, they didn't have anything like this kind of thing. Or if they did, I didn't know about it. Maybe that's part of it. But that's I get what you're talking about. What you're saying is also when an employer does that, it plants positive seeds in someone's head. Mm-hmm. And they may not, you may think, that's too young to be thinking about what they want to do with their life. Not really. Because they have afternoons, and rather than spend their afternoon doing stupid stuff, and we all know how kids, we all have been young, there's a lot of dumb things we could get involved in. This puts them in a good place, and you start planting little seeds, and it may be years down the road they'll remember, I remember that guy who came to talk, and he worked at such and such a place, and he was just cool, and he was nice, and I liked what he was talking about, and I could see myself doing that. I'm just planting an idea of what a kid might think later, and so I see the value of that. So people in the community who want to get involved, that's just another way you're painting. You're offering a lot of roadmaps to ways people can help that might be more convenient for what they have time for. I'm going to throw out some contact information, and you'll help me make sure this is right. I have, for folks who are inspired, maybe they want to help get after-school all-stars in a school in their community, or they have a way they want to help, or they're a business and they want to sponsor putting after-school all-stars into their community or onto their island, 734-1314, correct?
Yes.
And on Maui, I didn't hear you have any, so we have a lot of listeners on Maui, so they could call that number, and basically within a few days, I could get a call from you saying, guess what? So 734-1314 to inquire about support, ASASHawaii.org, which stands for After School All-Stars Hawaii.org. Emailing you guys, hiinfo@ASASHawaii.org. No one has to worry, at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. We have all of our Helping Hand features archived online, and that includes the full interview, the radio interview, and all of their contact information. Facebook, Twitter, that sort of thing. You want to mention any of those? I didn't. Forgive me. Are you guys using any of that stuff?
We do. We're on Facebook and Twitter.
Okay. And you'll email me your stuff. And
I will.
And we'll get it all together for that. Things that we did not mention about supporting your program or critical things that are coming up that we could help you with or that you want to get out there, let's get it in there. I love it when it's quiet like that. It's a good sign, man.
No, I think we were able to cover everything that we wanted to. And again, like Dawn said at the beginning, I mean, we just really appreciate this exposure because there are a lot of people working very hard to make this happen. And it's great to see that, it is being recognized and it is being seen in the community. So thank you very much.
You are welcome. Well, thanks to Special Olympics for telling me about it because that's what did it. And as you can tell, it lit a little fire because I've been very, very impressed with it. After School All-Stars President and CEO Dawn Dunbar and Program Director David Asato. And thank you very much. You're in 10 schools now. I hope that the next time that you're on Helping Hand will be a whole lot more than 10. So on behalf of all the people that you help out there, thank you very much for taking the time to be here with me and doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.